Georgia's Girl Scouts recently joined the debate over a Savannah bridge name. Talmadge Memorial Bridge was built in 1991. It was named for a former governor and a segregationist. The Girl Scouts would like the bridge to be renamed in honor of their founder and Savannah native, Juliet Gordon Lowe. Today marks 91 years since Lowe's death, and joining me now to talk about her life is historian Jamie Brantley. She manages the Girl Scout First Headquarters Museum in Savannah. Hi there.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How did she come to found the Girl Scouts?
I always say that Juliet essentially had a what we'd call today a midlife crisis. She was...
Wait, what was midlife for her?
She was around 40 or so at the time that she started sort of examining her life. And at that point in time, her marriage had dissolved. Essentially, she was in the process of divorcing her husband, which was almost unheard of at that time, especially for someone in her social status. And also, she had no children. And, of course, at that time period, those were the two, you know, benchmarks by which a woman measured her success was, you know, a happy home and her children. And she had neither. So she looked around for different things to kind of fulfill herself. She traveled and she took up art and so forth. And then within a few years, she actually met the gentleman who founded the Boy Scout movement, Lord Robert Baden-Powell, and it was very shortly after the Boy Scout movement, and he basically, they hit it off. They had so many things in common, and she fell in love with the idea of the Girl Guide movement, our sister organization in England, which had also just started. And so she started looking around at how she could make a difference for these girls, how they could have more options than she had, how they could define success in their life, basically, so they could have everyday life skills, but also if they ever needed to support themselves, they would have a way to do so, and also just a way to have fun and get outside of their comfort zones and experience something new.
For point of context, I just want to let everyone know that the Girl Scouts were founded in 1912, just past their 100-year anniversary. So when you talk about the era that in which they were founded, that's what we're talking about. She had really sort of a definitive idea of what kind of girl she thought a Girl Scout should be. And we actually asked a group of Girl Scouts in coastal Georgia to tell us what they think makes a good leader. So here are some of the responses that they recorded themselves.
Hi, my name is Haley Jackson from Richmond Hill, Georgia. I'm in 10th grade and I'm a Girl Scout senior. And I believe what makes a good leader is determination to handle the obstacles and be prepared to handle anything that gets thrown at them. Because a good leader should be determined no matter what the outcome may be.
My name is Sahara Howard. I am 15 years old and a senior Girl Scout. A leader shouldn't be afraid to fail. And if they do, they must have the confidence to learn from their mistakes and get back up and try again.
So that's what current Girl Scouts think. But Juliet Gordon Lowe was, raised in a pretty high class family. She was ladylike by any measure of the word. What did she think of as sort of the ideal scout?
She wanted the girls to be scouts. She wanted them to go out and find things about which they were passionate about. She also wanted them to look around their community and see how they could, you know, improve their community. So she wanted the girls to improve their individual lives, but then she also wanted them to work together and be leaders for the community and improve the communities and of course, our country as a whole.
So let's hear one more time before we go back to Juliet Gordon Lowe and her vision of the Scouts. Let's go back to the Girl Scouts of Coastal Georgia and hear what they say about being a leader.
Hi, my name is Alex and I live in Savannah, Georgia. I'm a senior in high school and this is my 12th year as a Girl Scout. To me, a leader is someone who is unafraid to take on the task of making change.
My name is Sydney and I'm currently a senior Girl Scout in my 11th year of scouting. A leader has to be brave enough to face any hardships or troubles that might come their way, because no matter what, a leader has to stand strong for all those following them.
Did Lowe, and when the Girl Scouts first started, we're just talking about 18 girls, right? I mean, it was a small group.
Right. She reached out to some of her connections in Savannah and said, this is what I want to do. They actually pulled together the first meeting in 3 days.
Wow.
Exactly. So they had 18 girls, and these girls were from such a cross-section of the Savannah community. There were girls of different religions, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish girls. There were girls from different economic classes in Savannah as well. You had very wealthy girls and girls also from basically the lower stratus in the society as well.
We're going to talk about inclusivity in a moment. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Jamie Brantley, a historian with the Girl Scouts of Georgia. We're talking about the push to rename Talmadge Bridge for the founder of the Girl Scouts, Juliet Gordon Lowe. I was not a Girl Scout. Were you a Girl Scout growing up?
I actually wasn't. I don't believe we actually had Girl Scouts in my town, which is slightly ironic in Georgia. But very quickly, I've always respected Girl Scouts, as most Georgians do, and kind of what the Girl Scouts do for their communities. But it was later on that I became involved as a volunteer first and then as a staff member.
Yeah, I was an Indian maiden. But it looks like inclusivity, which the Girl Scouts are quite known for in modern times, especially as compared with the Boy Scouts who've struggled with this particular issue. This was part of the founding principles of Juliet Gordon Lowe, was it not?
Absolutely. She actually, you know, she was very clear from the beginning that she wanted Girl Scouting to be for every girl. She even experienced some pushback from some of her own family members. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. But she was also very savvy. She realized that that was not going to necessarily go over very well in every community. So she essentially left it up to what we would today call councils. So basically the local groups of Girl Scouts to decide to whom they would extend membership. And so it would vary from area to area. So in some areas you would find maybe, as I said, in Savannah, Jewish girls were absolutely part of the early scouting movement, but maybe not in another community. Also in another community, there might be more ethnic groups represented as opposed to another community. But very quickly, because Girl Scouting was so good about, you know, if you're going to be part of this movement and you're going to say our promise and you're going to live by our laws, you have to really live that. And so the membership very quickly expanded to include basically any demographic of girl that you could imagine.
And where the group was integrated before the public schools, you've said.
Absolutely. In the South especially, in larger cities, northern cities, integration happened much more quickly. But in the South, we were much ahead of the curve by the 1930s and 40s for the most part. And even by the 1950s, Dr. King called Girl Scouts a force for desegregation, which is something of which we've always been very proud.
She herself was a colorful character, right? I mean, you tell the story about her showing off her new shoes. What would she do?
Oh, absolutely. Juliet had such charisma, and she was so energetic and enthusiastic. She would basically almost use that as a recruitment tool for both girls and volunteers. When there was a new pair of Girl Scout shoes, they had official Girl Scout shoes, she wore them to a meeting, and someone said, oh, are those the new Girl Scout shoes? And she said, sure. And they said, can we see them? So her solution to that was so that everyone could see them more clearly was she tucked her skirt in between her knees and did a handstand, which is something we all do when we show off our shoes.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. So what do you make of this push to rename Talmadge Bridge in honor of Juliet Gordon Lowe? First of all, what would the bridge then be called? Lowe Bridge?
I'm assuming the Juliet Gordon Lowe Memorial Bridge, that would be up to the state, and that would be their decision. Girl Scouts did not start this conversation. This was started by a group of concerned citizens in Savannah and leadership and so forth. But we said that if the change is going to happen, we would love to have it even be considered to be named after Juliet, because she was such a bridge builder herself. She was, as you mentioned, she was from a very affluent conservative Southern family, but she looked to the future. She took the best parts of her childhood and her upbringing, and she decided she wanted to make things better. And so that's how we have this opportunity in Girl Scouting today. And then also, we look at this as an opportunity in the bridge naming process as an opportunity to teach our Girl Scouts about advocacy, about how to approach your representatives, how to affect change in your community or in your state. So if nothing else, this is absolutely an educational and empowering tool for our girls.
Do you think that Juliet Gordon Lowe was a product of Savannah itself? In other words, do the Girl Scouts organization, especially in their founding, reflect the place where the organization was founded?
I believe so. Savannah, even today, if you have a chance to visit, it's a small town. It has that small town feel where you know everyone. So even if someone is different from you, they're still your neighbors. It's still part of your community. You have to find the similarities rather than focusing on the differences. And we do have such diversity in Savannah. You know, it makes it interesting, and there's always opportunities to learn more and expand yourself. And so those are fundamental principles of the Girl Scouts.
I have to say, I had no idea before this effort, which, as you say, was not a Girl Scout effort to rename the bridge, but Juliet Gordon Lowe's name has been posited. I didn't know the Girl Scouts were founded in Savannah. Why do you think, for many people outside the city itself, that history is unknown?
I'm honestly not sure. Juliet Lowe, as we were discussing earlier, was so involved with the Girl Guide movement when it was first formed. She came back to Savannah, which was home for her. She had the resources here to get started. So I think that was a very, you know, savvy move on her part to, you know, go to her cousin who was the principal of a school. Obviously, that was a great resource for her. And she was basically, her family was so well respected in Savannah, it made it easier for her to start this organization, which could have been seen as a little bit, you know, a little bit liberal or a little
reformist. Look at the record, absolutely. It was seen that way.
Absolutely. But because her family was so well respected, and she was as well, and she was actually fairly conservative, you know, that it was, had anyone else tried to do this, I don't think it would have worked. But then she also parlayed her relationships from Savannah. For instance, Mrs. Woodrow Wilson, she, you know, gained an introduction to her. And so from Savannah, the move was made to Washington for our headquarters. And then eventually from Washington, you know, she worked her connections basically and wound up with some of the leading women of the time, some of the reformers and so forth, to support the movement. Absolutely.
And Girl Scouts have collected about 10,000 signatures to support the effort to rename the bridge after their founder. And there will be an event on February 6th to voice that support. Jamie Brantley, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Jamie is a historian with the Girl Scouts of Georgia.